Hallelujah. The power is on. I guess I'm on. Hallelujah. And the anointing is so strong in here this morning. God is going to do something fantastic today. Those of you that are here and watching by internet, it's going to be a special service. And I would like to have each of you receive two index cards. And if you need a pen, I have one for you. You know, if you need a pen, raise your hand and we'll give you one. So if we can have these handed out, please. Already. Anybody need two index cards? Did everybody have them? Anybody lacking? Because at home, run and get a piece of paper, cut it in half or whatever. It doesn't have to be big. But it's going to be important for you to do this on the papers, because the Holy Spirit instructed me that that's what he wants us to do today. So we're going to submit to the Lord and obey so we could receive our blessings. Amen. Amen. So it may not seem important, but this is going to be a point of contact for our faith to be released. So when we use these cards, God is going to do something specific and special in each of our lives. Are we ready? Yes. Are you getting excited? Yes. Woohoo! Okay. So the title of this message is "The Devil Is Under Our Where?
Feet."
Where? Feet. Woohoo! Okay. The first card, get it ready, and your pen. And I want you to write down what you need defeated in manifestation in your life. You know Jesus paid the price at the cross and it was defeated then. But if you still have some symptoms attacking you, or if you still have some manifestation of lack or want of any good thing, it needs to be like a one word on this page. I know some of us chatty Cathy challenges might want to write sentences down. I'm talking to the ladies. Most guys use less words, but ladies, you could do it, because through Christ, we could do all things one word. One word, and you can put as many as you want, like challenges with fear, put down fear. Challenges with sickness or infirmities, and you put on the top challenges, colon, because then we don't give place to the enemy to say that we have it. He's trying to give it to us, but we're not receiving it, okay? Sickness or illness, do you have challenges with fear of rejection? You don't want to get up in front of people? Or if you were rejected? I know no one in this church rejects people. Other churches do that. But but anyway, you know, whatever challenges, broken relationships with siblings, children, family, loved ones, whatever it is, put it down on that paper. Well, we'll make an exception and put a couple of words. Broken relationships. But at least it's not a sentence. Anything else that you know that you have been battling with, you know you have the victory in Jesus, but you're still waging war against the enemy in your life. Jesus got the victory. You have the victory, but you need to see the overcoming in your life. That's what you need to put on this sheet. Make sense? How about need more finances? We're not putting lack there. So you get to put more finances. Okay, so you got the picture? And you can use both sides if you need to. Some people might need another piece of paper. Raise your hand. We'll give it to you. That's, or if you need another piece of paper, just put overhaul. Okay. Anything that else that you want to write on there. Okay. Then when you're done with that, you're going to go to page number two. And page number two, you're going to compare and you say, oh, the first one I had down here was a challenge of fear. What is the opposite of fear? Have a spirit of power, of love and a sound mind. And at the top of your page, you're going to put, I am and have. I am and have. And then you compare. Okay, sickness or illness, what would I have? What's the opposite? Health. I put divine health. What's the opposite of fear of rejection or feeling rejected? Accepted? Broken relationships or brokenhearted? Whole? A whole heart or a healed heart? Restored relationships? And put all the other things that I'm not mentioning that apply to you. These are just examples. What about if you have a challenge with finances? What's a great opposite of that? Abundance of finances? Prosperity? Prosperity is a good one word. That means abundance. What's the opposite of overhaul? Healthy. Pastor Joshua, what is it?
Healthy, healed, and whole.
Healthy, healed, and whole. There you go. That's a good one. See, you guys could put whatever you see yourself as in Christ. I have and I am, and put underneath there in Christ Jesus. I am and I have in Christ Jesus. Okay? And there's going to be a quickening in your spirit today about everything that God is doing in your life, because you've been persevering with your affirmations. You've been repenting, renouncing, breaking curses. And today we are going to put Satan under our feet in every area of our lives so that he stays under, not squirming back up. Okay? And every time that he tries to do that, we're going to be more vigilant and see it more quickly and keep him under there and just keep, tries to wiggle back up, stomp him back down. Anger tries to come back up. If someone has a challenge with strife or anger or rage, oh, no, I'm not going to get angry. I'm going to zip my lip. And in the name of Jesus, I repent of being angry. And that just puts him back under your feet right away. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, it may take some doing. It may not be easy. But we're going to be vigilant warriors. We're in spiritual warfare. Okay, you guys ready? You can keep writing as I'm talking, but at least you're getting your papers ready, okay? Your two papers. The one that says challenges and the one that says I am and have in Christ Jesus. And then colon, because the colon will means all that stuff is who you are in Christ and what you have already, because he's given it to you because he paid the price. Amen? All right, so I want everybody to take your Bibles out and note paper, because when you take notes, and if you don't have note paper, I always encourage you to bring it, because one way to remember things is to hear it, read it, speak it, and write it. And I want to get it in my heart, because that's where it's not going to be just head knowledge. It's going to be coming out of my spirit, okay? So if you have something to write on, that's great. If not, at least try to really focus. You're not getting outlines today, because I really want you to pay attention with your ears and with your eyes. And if you can write, that's great. Let's go to Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. How come it doesn't say just put on part of it? We need it all to protect ourselves, right? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And those wiles means attacks, challenges, okay? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, so stop arguing with your family. And if you're mad at somebody, get mad at the devil instead, not at the person, because you're not really battling that person. It's the demons that are behind that person. Makes sense? That's why it should become easier to forgive the person, because it's the demons making them do it. Okay? And so we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against who? principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And how many think we're already there? And especially in the end times, I'm going to get you battle ready so that you won't have to be scared, so that you don't have to fear, so that you don't have to wonder what's going to happen to me and my family, because you're going to have the whole armor of God on every single day. Amen. Okay, so having done all, so you guys are doing a lot of work. This church is a very diligent church. Those that diligently seek God, God's going to reward you. You are diligent, but he wants us to get some more help. Because sometimes, you know, people get weary. Battle after battle after battle. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. You don't have to raise your hand, but it's happened to me. And so God wants to shore us up and support us and help us, because Jesus made it easy, because he took it all. He did all the warring. He did all the battle. He took all the suffering. He took all the pain at that cross on the tree at Calvary, so you don't have to. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to get the spoils. You know what the spoils mean? The spoils means we're going to get all the benefits of what he did for us at the cross. Hallelujah. And how many of us are just getting some of it? He wants us to get all of it, because it's there for us, okay? So we're not just going to be partially ready for the battle. We're going to daily put on our whole armor, okay? So having done all to stand, what does it say? Stand therefore. And that text means keep standing. That is a present tense, therefore stand. It doesn't mean, oh, I don't know if I can keep doing this. It's stand. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And having your girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So you're going to be more watchful now. You're going to be more vigilant. You're going to check out when the enemy wants to sneak out from under your foot. You're going to stomp him again. Okay? So when you have the armor of God on, you can win every spiritual battle. Five parts are defensive. Only one is offensive, coming against the enemy. Which one? The sword. Give yourself an A. Okay. And one can be either relative to what you choose to do for your works, which is how much you pray. Okay? So the armor of God is needed to put the devil under our feet. It's not the only thing, but it is one of the main things. Our loins are girded about with the belt of truth, which is the Spirit of God. And what is the purpose of that belt? In the Roman army, which is the depiction that we have been given for the New Testament, it shows that the belt is where the sheath was, and then the sheath was where the sword was placed when it wasn't being used. Okay? It also protected the soldier from not cutting himself, you know, like people who wear a pistol without a sheath could shoot themselves in the foot. Don't want to do that, do you? Okay, so it wouldn't be good if his leg was all cut up, because the Roman sword was different. It had two edges, right? It had two sharp sides. Many of the other nations only had one side that was sharp. And, you know, some may call a machete, but some swords were rounded, but they only had one side. So if someone was coming from the back, they couldn't get them, because here's the sharp side. But the Roman soldiers, it didn't matter how they wielded it, they could win no matter who was in back of them, in front of them, okay? So the word of God cuts through every devil lie. The word of God is the spirit of truth, and it shows you how to use the word against the enemy. So out of your mouth, you have to use it. People say, oh, God's going to help me. I don't have to pray. I don't have to do anything. Now, grace is good, because without grace, we wouldn't be saved. God's grace is there for us, and we need it. But people who don't understand spiritual warfare think grace is going to do the work for them against the enemy in the battle. Why would God give us his word if he didn't want us to use it as a sword? So Jesus already did the work for us. Why am I saying, God, help me, help me, help me, do it for me, do it for me? He said, Jesus did it for you. It's done. But if I say, Lord God, I'm hungry, please, Lord, give me food. And then someone comes to the door, knocks at the door and says, God told me to give you this money. And they gave you $100. And he said, and God told me that you need it for food. And then you say, thank you, Lord, for the $100. Thank you, Lord, for the $100. And then the kids come and say, Mommy, there's no food. Well, you didn't get in your car and go buy the groceries. Hello, you think God's going to come and make your spaghetti for you? I don't think so. You got to go out there and buy the food. You have to do the work. See, you have to. God already did it for you. Now, we partner with God. He did his part. We do our part. That's where some people get all mixed up. They want God to do it all. Babies need their parents to do it all for them. Adult children need to go out there and get it done. Amen? Hallelujah. So, we know that above all, we take the shield of faith, wherewith we can quench those fiery darts. And that belt is going to help us get rid of the fiery darts when the sword comes out of it. Okay? So the truth means that when you use the word of God, your belt is around your waist. This is where the rivers of living water come out of your where? Belly or innermost being. Okay? So my spirit man lives inside of me. Your spirit man lives inside of you. And here is where the belt is, where the truth is. The truth is I'm being led by the Spirit of God from my innermost being. The truth is no matter what the devil says is the circumstances that you see with your eyes, God's word overcomes all circumstances on this earth, because the truth is what the word says. The truth is what God's report is, not what the doctor's report is. The truth is what the word says that you have. All that God has provided for you. There should not be any lack or want of any good thing, because that's a lie of the devil. And if I go in the cupboard and there ain't no food in there, I said, you're a liar, because God has provided my food in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But I gotta believe it, and then I'll receive it. Because if I believe there's no food, I'm gonna receive nothing. Amen?
Amen.
So you need the belt of truth. The word of God overcomes facts. It changes it. And the breastplate of righteousness, what is that needed for? Well, it protected the soldier's whole torso, his heart, his lungs, his, you know, the important parts, because they're facing and charging the enemy. They don't expect the enemy to come to their back, but they have that protected as well, because it's over the whole thing. And if they do come to their back, that's protected as well. So if they try to stab them in the heart, it's just going to not penetrate, because they have this shield of metal, and then their breastplate was protecting them. That wards off the attacks of the enemy, especially of guilt and condemnation. You have the breastplate of righteousness. This is who you are in Christ. So what? So what if you made a mistake in the past? So what if you blew it? So what if things went wrong? We all had that. But guess who you are now? Are you born again?
Yes.
You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that person is buried and dead, because you are a new creature, alive unto God in Christ Jesus. You are righteous. No guilt, no shame. And if that tries to come back, you put that under your feet again. Get down there where you belong, devil. I'm not taking that condemnation. And if people ever heard the word stupid in their life and someone called you dumb or ignorant, you couldn't make it in life and you'll only be a failure, you just step on that and say, you're a liar, devil. God says that whatever I put my hands to shall prosper. I have the mind of Christ, so therefore Christ isn't stupid, so therefore I'm not. I can do all things and I'm intelligent in Jesus' name. Right? Hallelujah. Put that thing under your feet. And so now we're going to say, what is that shield of faith? Well, the Roman army took over the entire world at that time because of unity. They marched in unity and that had the shield of faith, which is about 3.5 feet. And they big and they had this knob on the center of it called the boss. Ooh, isn't the boss something that lords over you? Well, they knew that that boss would boss the enemy around. You got to boss the enemy around. How many people are bossed around by the enemy? Huh? Too many. And I'm not going to be one of them anymore. Not me. Not you. Right? And so when someone came with a sword and hit that round knob, it was like, cling, didn't even get to the shield. Right? So you got to have that mindset that your shield of faith is going to boss the enemy around. And you got to have that perspective. That shield of faith covers you. And most shields were made with leather as well on top of the metal, and they would wet it before the battle. When fiery darts were coming at them, catapulted by the enemy, they would kneel down. They would lock arms, and all you could see is shield, 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 a wall of shields, because they were in unity. And they deflected. And we're not talking about a little baby arrow that was on fire. We're talking about a big rock with cloth around it and rope, doused in oil, and boom, catapulted at the Romans. And it hit the shield, boom, deflected off. And the wet leather quenched the fire. Boom, 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 boom. It didn't matter where they were hitting. They were protecting each other and themselves. And that's why we need the body of Christ. Anybody that isn't churched and isn't submitted to a pastor is out there on your own, honey. When those big fire darts come, you're handling it by yourself. And you don't have the watering of the word of God keeping that shield wet, so that every fiery dart is quenched. We need each other, and we need to have our shield of faith up every day. So when the thoughts of the lies of the devil come, then the watering of the water of the word, which has been renewing our minds, say, that's a lie. Get back under my where? Feet. Okay? And that's the purpose of the shield. The helmet. Oh, my goodness. A lot of people don't have that helmet on because they come to church and they say, I'm depressed. Well, you couldn't be depressed if you had your helmet on. So God wants us to get depression under our feet and to get the helmet of God on, protecting our head, our brain, our mind, our thoughts, because the devil wants to come against our thought life. And if he can get us to think like he thinks with stinking thinking, then we're not going to be able to put the devil under our feet. Because when people say, I feel overwhelmed, I feel stressed out, I feel anxiety, and my heart palpitates. Now, who's over who? Overwhelmed. Over me. Overwhelmed. He should be under my feet. He should run when I come in the room. And he should feel overwhelmed when I am around and you are around. Because we'll be watchful and knowing the schemes of the enemy and knowing when he's going to throw a fiery dart. And I'm not going to be scared. My shield of faith. I have the watering of the water of the word, and that's going to quench that fire right now. Okay. So see, we got to be normally in our armor 24/7. And people say, oh, I get tired. Well, you know what? People don't realize you were born on a battlefield called Earth. The battle is between God and the devil. And I don't like it any more than you do. But I know that God made a way when we can be overcomers and conquer the enemy because he already has. We have the inside scoop. He's won. Hallelujah. What are we going to be afraid for? Who's your king? The defeated one or the victorious one? What am I going to be depressed about then? That devil should be really depressed when he thinks about that. Hello? Okay, so now the sword of the Spirit. We know it's offensive weapon because Hebrews 4:12 says all things are possible to you who believe. Hebrews 4:12. But you gotta what? Believe. If you think that mountain is too big, IRS, slap me with a $25,000 bill someone just told me. And they were shocked because of some circumstances of receiving a lot of money and they didn't realize it was taxable. And now IRS is knocking at their door. And I said, well, how many instances has God gotten you out of a pickle before? Can you raise your hand? Has God gotten you out of any pickles before? Well, why is this going to be any harder? What are you facing that's on that challenge sheet? What are you facing? Has God gotten you out of other stuff before? Yes. That is no big deal to him. Amen?
Amen.
And so, when you look at Romans 4:17, it says that you... Let's go to that. Romans 4:17. I think that we should all... read that together if you've got your Bible. As it is written, it is what? Written. That means it's official word of God. I have made you a father of many nations. God was speaking to who?
Abraham.
Abraham. In the presence of him who he believed who? God, who gives life to the dead. And what? Let's read it together. Calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Or another version. God calls those things that are not as though they were. Right? Okay. If something is with you, like Pastor Sarah says, what if you call a kitty? If the kitty is standing beside me, am I going to say, come, kitty, come? Everyone's going to go, what's wrong with her? It's right there. It already came. But if the kitty is outside and it's lunchtime, I say, come, kitty, come. The kitty's going to run up and go to its little bowl, right? Are you calling into being what God has already done for you from heaven to manifest on earth? When you pray one time in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, that I've been healed of cancer, and I thank you that I've been healed of cancer. I ask one time, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I ask to receive what you've already done for me. I'm not asking him to heal me of cancer. He already did it at the cross. If I ask him to heal me of cancer, it means he never did it. So I got to change my mindset, the helmet, my mind, keep that on. Thank you for giving me what you did for me at the cross. I need the manifestation pulled down from heaven to my life. I'm calling it. Calling it. And the shipment is on the way, but I block my shipment through doubt and unbelief. I block my shipment through speaking negative words. It's taking so long. Maybe this word thing doesn't even work. Too many affirmations. I'm not going to stop it because just stop it because it's just too much. Roadblock, my blessings. Who wants to unblock your roadblock? Woo! Yeah. Let's unblock that roadblock. It's mine. I have it. I don't care what I see or not see. I know in the spirit realm it's mine. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you pay for something, it is yours when you sign the check, right? Okay. So when you're going to have to mail it and you've ordered it over the phone, they usually put your name on it before the check comes. It's yours. Amazon.com people, you know that. And if you don't have a PayPal account, I don't know how they're going to get the money. So when you hit that send, paid my bill, Amazon.com hasn't received your money yet. The person who has the product hasn't received your money yet. Why does your receipt said it's yours? Huh? Because it is. Because it was paid for. Jesus used blood to pay for what you and I need. Paid for. On the dotted line. Presented it to the Father God. So why do I say, please God, give me healing? What? It's already ours. Lord, I need a new car. Well, just get it in the spirit. And if I keep thanking him with my affirmations, no roadblock in hell is going to keep me from getting what I need. No roadblock in hell. I have to keep using the word of God, the two-edged sword, calling those things that are not as though they were, subject to change, aligning up, because Mark 11:23. You know when you speak the word of God, and you have to believe that every mountain has been removed. You cannot receive it unless you believe it. And if you believe it, you speak it. And if you speak it, you've confessed it. If you affirmed it, then you called it into being. You've prophesied it into your life. How many people are negating the word of God? Praying always. What's the purpose of that? Because if we're always going to let the Holy Ghost use us to pray things out in the spirit, in tongues, it's a perfect prayer. Prayed over your life, prayed over your family. It's a perfect prayer because it's of the Spirit of God. And then you use your affirmations knowing what the promises are to remind God that is yours because you already were given it. Amen? Amen. Now I'm going to go back now and we're going to concentrate on why do you have the shoes of the gospel of preparation of peace to put the devil under your feet. That's why. Remember that nursery rhyme? 1, 2, buckle my shoe. 3, 4, kick the devil out the door. I changed it on you, didn't I? Okay. 1, 2, buckle your shoes of the gospel of preparation of peace and get ready to stomp on some devil heads. Amen. Stomp on some more demons. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to kick that thing 3, 4 out the door. Now, some of you might have to kick 14, 15, 61, whatever. We're going to stomp on all of them today. Hallelujah. So if you think of anything else, put that on there. We're going to stomp on those things, okay? So feet represent your direction in life of where God wants you to go. And where the Spirit of God wants to lead you. But when we have had problems in our life, we had allowed the devil to lead us there because God wouldn't have never done anything bad to us. Okay? And so it also covers over our soul. Spiritually, the preparation of the gospel is to study, to integrate, to internalize, to meditate. And so we can teach it as well because here, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth or understanding it, discerning the truth. And 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness, and that the man or woman of God may be complete. May be what?
Complete.
Complete. That means that I won't have missing things in my life. That means you don't. None of us do. We're whole. Nothing is missing. Everything you need is already inside of you as a new creature in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit of God lives in you. You're born again and Jesus has already done it all. Now we have to let that come out of you. Out of your belly flows the rivers of living water. You need to water yourself by praying in tongues, watering every day with the Word of God as well. So that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for the end times, thoroughly equipped for whatever you don't know how to do and you got to change and you don't want to change, but you have to. Thoroughly equipped for no matter what the Antichrist is going to do, God will show you ahead of time if you stay in Christ and dwell in Him. Thoroughly equipped. So that regardless what part of your body still needs that manifestation of the healing, which is already yours and you've already had, but now you just need to see it in the physical realm because it's yours, thoroughly equipped for every good work for the kingdom of God is what it's saying. And so James 1:21 says that the engrafted word saves your soul. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness, anything of the world that's not godly, because everything godly is pure and holy, and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness. That means submitting ourselves to God and His word and doing what He says. And the implanted word, which means in your heart, is able to save your soul, meaning now God could redirect your feet, the direction where you're supposed to go. And so you've heard rightly if you're in this church, if you're listening by the internet, you've heard rightly. Your feet has taken you to the right place. Now let's see what else our feet are going to be doing for God. Amen? The state of your soul determines your direction. What is failure? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world? That's in Mark 8:36. Gains the whole world but loses his own soul. Means he's lost. No direction. Lost people don't know where they're going. But you know where you're going. You know that you're going on in Christ Jesus. You know that you want to live and remain. You know that you want to be victorious and an overcomer in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
What is success? The God of peace is the bishop of your soul, Romans 16:20. And the God of peace will crush Satan. Let's look at that in your Bible together. Oh, boy. Hallelujah. Shangarabashana. Woo! This is a good scripture. Hallelujah. This is a happy scripture. This is going to make you so happy. Romans 16, verse 20. Romans 16:20. Hallelujah. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen.
Crush Satan. Because everything is under Jesus' feet. And we are the body of Christ. He is our head. So who's under our feet? Satan. What purpose do shoes serve? Shoes allow you to step freely without fear. Turn your full attention to the battle at hand. When you are properly prepared in advance of the battle. Just like Pastor Joshua was saying, when that man fell off that wall, when he had that power tool and he was cutting the tree, he just started praying in tongues because it was automatic. And he said, the end of the story, he felt like he fell into some pillows. I mean, he could have broken every bone in his body. He could have cut off his leg with that chainsaw. God helped him. See, automatically, it's already there. And so we got to just keep feeding on the word, watering ourselves with the word of God. And so when you are properly shod with your feet, with proper shoes, you could run as far as you can and need to and go wherever God wants you to do. Have you ever been barefoot on rocky ground or thorns and thistles? Did it feel good? If it did, raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. But as soon as you got those shoes on, you didn't care what was under your feet, right? You could just keep going, right? Prepared for battle. We've got to always be prepared for battle every minute of the day, because this is a battleground. And when we're always prepared, the enemy knows it, and I think he's going to go bother somebody else. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And so the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our what? Path, according to Psalm 119:105. So when you're preparing to share the gospel with other people, that you're ready no matter where you go, no matter what God has you do. But you know that in your spirit, your feet are treading on the devil. And you don't care what is there, you're moving on with God. Amen? Amen. So it doesn't matter how weary the battle might get. Remember, the victory is yours. You have defeated the enemy. Now, I want everybody to go to 1 Samuel 30, and we're going to read this little story and remind you about how David defeated the enemy, took the feet off of that enemy, and put the devil under his feet. So we're going to read the whole story. I'm choosing to use this version as the New King James. So let's start with verse 1, 1 Samuel 30. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the women who were there. Now David and all his men, all the men, were out fighting. That left Ziklag unprotected with only women and children, okay? And the enemy knew that. And so they took taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great, and they did not kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. They took prisoners because they would enslave them, okay? So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. That means they were lamenting. They were just so besides himself. And David and David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the what? Soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and daughters. They didn't have their feet shod. Of all the battles that God had them win, you think this one was going to be hard for God? But they listened to the lie of the enemy when their eyes saw a burnt down city and all their loved ones were gone. They wanted to kill their leader. When people are depressed, when people are distressed, they don't believe what the leader has been preaching anymore, and they want to stone him or her, and they want to just say, it's not working. Look what happened to us. Look what happened to us. And so have you ever had a moment in your life where you're like, woe is me. I can't do it anymore. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, not this church, but other people, not churches. But David strengthened himself. He did what?
Strengthened himself.
In who? The Lord his God. You got to strengthen yourself in your God in those times of attack, no matter what it looks like. And then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And so David did what? Inquired of the Lord. When you have stuff going on, we got to go to God and go inquire of God. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? But most people who listen to the attacks of the enemy and the lie on their minds are like, oh, God's going to help me. God help me. God help me. No, he said, get up. You do something. God's not going to do it for you. He already did it at the cross. That was his part. You want healing? You do something about it. You want finances? You do something about it. You want restored relationships? You do something about it. I got to do something about it. We all got to do something about it because we partner with God and he did his part. Remember the lady who got the money and didn't get up and go get the spaghetti? She had to do her part, right? So what was the answer of the Lord? And he answered him. God answered David, saying, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail, what?
Recover.
What?
Recover.
Well, I want you to put in your Bible, I pursue, for I shall surely overtake them, demons, and without fail, I recover all. Hallelujah!
Yes.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Let's do that. I pursue, and I surely overtake them, demons, and without fail, I recover all. And if you read the rest of the story, he did. And much more. Because the Amalekites also had gone to the other enemy's camp, and they had tons of jewels and tons of spoils, and they got it all. They got it all. They got back every woman and son and daughter alive, and they took all their herds too. They took all those back, and then they got more than what they bargained for, recovered it all, because the devil, the thief, has to pay back sevenfold what he has ever stolen from you on this challenge sheet. Today, if you only gotten partial payment, you're going to step on that head till he gives it up, all of it, because Jesus already got it for you. Jesus already obtained it for you, and you're going to make sure the devil listens to you with the word of God coming out of your mouth. You take the authority. God's not going to stand up there and say, okay, like, you know, big soldier, hand over the stuff. No, you are an adult child of God. He wants you to tell the devil. Because as the devil sees you, he sees Jesus in you. And when you're talking with the armor on, the devil thinks he's talking to Jesus. All the devil sees is the armor of God. He thinks he's talking to Jesus. And it's your word in your mouth. And because you are a representative, an ambassador represents his or her country, right? And when they speak, people listen. When they say do this, they do it. When they say do that, they do it. Why? They represent the president of their nation. They have to obey. When you speak the word of God, all the devil sees is Jesus speaking it. You have the authority in Christ. You are the ambassador of God. It is you he needs to speak words on this earth, because without his words that are spoken, he cannot move. You create your future. You create the restoration that God already gave you and provided you. But when you speak it forth, you call it into being those things that were not, as if they already were, because they are. They are in the heavenly realm. You're just bringing it down from heaven to earth. Do you see what I'm saying? And you get more. And now, there were 200 of the 600 men that went with David that were so tired because they just came from a battle when they saw all that. And they all went with him. And then when they came to a brook, 200 of them were so exhausted they were going to fall off their horses, man. How can they go to battle? So David said, you stay here. And they were actually watching their supplies. Isn't that important? You know, if the devil would try to come and take their water and their food and their whatever. So the other 400 went and battled and fought and defeated the enemy. So some of them said, well, those 200 lazy bums back there, they didn't come help us fight, so we're not going to give them any of our loot. And David said, what? They were taking care of our supplies. Yeah, they were tired, but they just came from a big battle battling with you side by side. And their job is just as important. You don't know what it takes to get this church ready for Sundays and Fridays and healing school and whatever. Lots of man hours go in that, sometimes countless hours without sleep. So when God blesses you with provision and finances, remember, not just give your tithes, give offerings too. Because where your heart is, there's your treasure. You treasure this ministry. I bless this ministry every time I get a chance to. It is an honor of God to bless this ministry with our finances. And sometimes when you look at how much tithes you got to give, and it looks like you don't have enough money to pay the bills if you give the tithes, don't raise your hands, but if you've ever been there and you can relate to that, I got saved when I was 19 years old. And since that day, I was taught to give to God and tithe what is due to Him because I wanted to thank my God and be obedient. And I have not failed to tithe. God has always taken care of me. God will always take care of you, even when it didn't look like I could make it. Because I put Him first, I got more. More than enough came in because I trusted Him. I believed the word of God. My feet were shod with the gospel. I knew that wherever God led me to go, the provision was there, whether or not I could see it with my eyes, and He never failed to take care of me. I know that my God, when twice the doctors told me that I had cancer and wouldn't make it, I said, but God said, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. But I had to take it. I had to pursue the enemy. I had to speak the word of God 24/7. There were nights that I was in so much pain. I couldn't sleep. So I just kept listening to my scriptures on tape those days. It was cassette those days. And I had to rewind that thing. And so, you know, I just kept listening and speaking it out. I had to do something because God already did it for me. And when I went into surgery, they couldn't find this cancer. God did His part, but we got to do our part. My feet followed the word of God. Your feet follows the word of God. But now we have to put the devil under our feet in every area. He has reared his ugly head in our lives. We got to put him back where he belongs.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Who's ready to do that?
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah. Well, if you can stand up, stand up. And if you can't, I want you to put this card under your feet, however you get it there. We are putting this under our feet. And we're going to sing this song. I took back from the enemy's camp. I took back what he stole from me. The devil is under my feet, and we're going to keep him under our feet in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So we're going to sing this song, and we are going to do it in the spirit. And then after the song's done, we're going to deal with card number two, the blessings of God running to overtake you. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, put your dancing shoes on. Woo! Your feet are shod with the gospel of preparation of peace. The good news, because the good news is that Satan has been defeated. Amen? Hallelujah.
I went to the enemy's camp
the Lord has done. Now, I want you to keep standing. Take that second card, the one that says, I am and I have in Christ Jesus. And I want you to put it up to heaven to remind God of what he has already done for you. And put it in the devil's face, what God has already done for you. Right? Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now repeat with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I am what this card says I am, because it's the word of God. I have what this card says I have, because it is the word of God, that I'm healthy, I'm healed, I'm whole, and everything Jesus has done for me is mine in all things in heaven and earth are mine, because I'm a co-heir with Christ Jesus. I'm seated in heavenly places with my Jesus. The devil is under my feet. He is defeated. And I have victory in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror. Everything I put my hands to prospers. I am the head, not the tail. I am above and not beneath. And look what the Lord has done for me in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Well, be seated if you can. Hallelujah.